order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "The language of the Lord. It is the sacred duty of the human spirit to investigate why it is living on earth, or in general in this creation, in which it is suspended as if by a thousand threads. No man considers himself so insignificant as to imagine that its existence is without purpose, unless it's purposeless. In any case, he deems himself too important. And yet, there are only a few men on earth capable of laboriously detaching themselves from their spiritual indolence so far as seriously to concern themselves with the investigation of their task on earth. And again, it is solely indolence of the spirit that makes them willing to accept the firmly established doctrines of others. And it is indolence that lies in the reassurance that comes from thinking that it is great to adhere to the faith of their parents without submitting its underlying principles to keen, careful and independent examination. In all these matters, men are now eagerly supported by calculating and selfish organizations which believe that the best way to extend and safeguard their influence and thus to increase their power is by adding to the number of their adherents. They are far from the recognition of God, for otherwise they would not bind the human spirit with the fetters of a firmly established doctrine, but would have to educate it for the personal responsibility ordained by God, which fundamentally stipulates freedom of spiritual decision. Only a spirit free in this respect can come to the true recognition of God, that matures within him to the complete conviction, which is essential for anyone who wishes to be uplifted to the luminous heights. For only free, sincere conviction can help him to achieve this. But what have you done, you men? How have you suppressed this highest grace of God, and wantonly prevented it from developing and from helping all heart men to open up that path which safely leads them to peace, to joy, and to the highest bliss? Consider this a choice in agreement or in obedience, which as a result of spiritual indolence may be done only from habit or general custom. A personal decision is involved, laying upon the individual who makes it personal responsibilities according to the laws of creation. Those who influence the human spirit to do this naturally bear a personal responsibility which is inevitable and irrevocable. No thought or action, however trivial, can be erased from creation without similar consequences. In the web of creation, the threats both for the individual and for the masses are accurately spun, awaiting redemptions, which in turn must eventually be received by the originators or producers, either as suffering or as joy, according to how they once issued from them. Only now they have grown and are thus strengthened. You are caught in the web of your own volitions, of your actions, and are not released from it until the threads can fall away from you in the redemption. Among all creatures in creation, the human spirit is the only one to have free will, which until today he could not explain, did not understand, because within the narrow bounds of his intellectual pondering, he found no essential facts to prove it. His free will lies solely in the decision, of which he may make many every hour. In the independent weaving of the laws of creation, however, he is unswervingly subject to the consequences of every one of his personal decisions. Therein lies his responsibility, which is inseparably connected with the gift of free will to make decisions, which is peculiar to and an absolute part of the human spirit. Otherwise, what would become of divine justice, which is firmly anchored in creation as support, balance, and maintenance of all the workings therein? In its effects, however, it does not always take in account of the short span of only one earth life for a human spirit. But here there are entirely different conditions, as readers of my message know. You have often brought harm upon yourselves, and sometimes forced it upon your children through many superficial decisions, even though you yourselves have proved too indolent still to summon up the strength to decide for yourselves in your deepest intuition, where, regardless of all you have learned, each word to which you decided to adhere can hold truth. At least, you should not seek to force the consequences of your indolence also upon your children, whom you thus plunge into misfortune. Thus, what in one case is caused by spiritual indolence, in others is brought about by the calculating intellect. Through both these enemies of spiritual freedom in decision, mankind is now bound, except for a few who still try to summon up the courage to burst this bond within them in order to become real human beings themselves, as follows from obedience to the divine laws. The divine laws are true friends in everything. They are helpful blessings from the will of God, who thus opens the path to salvation for everyone who strives towards it. There is not a single other road to this than the one clearly shown by the laws of God in creation. The whole of creation is the language of God, which you should earnestly strive to read, and which is by no means as difficult as you may think. You belong to this creation as a part of it, and therefore you must swing with it, walk in it, and mature in learning from it. And thus, through gaining in understanding, you must rise ever higher, from one step to the next, drawing along through the radiation in order to ennoble everything that comes in contact with you on your way. There will then spontaneously develop around you one beautiful miracle after another, which through reciprocal action will raise you ever higher. Learn to recognize your path in creation, and you will also know the purpose of your existence. Then you will be filled with grateful rejoicing and the greatest happiness a human spirit is able to bear, which lies solely in the recognition of God. The supreme bliss of the true recognition of God, however, can never grow out of an acquired blind faith, much less come to flower, but convinced knowledge, knowing conviction alone, gives to the spirit what is necessary for this. You earthmen are in this creation to find supreme happiness. In the living language of which God speaks to you, and to understand this language, to learn it, and to sense inwardly the will of God in it, that is your goal during your journey through creation. In creation itself, to which you belong, lies the explanation of the purpose of your existence, and at the same time also the recognition of your goal. In no other way can you find either. This demands of you that you leave creation, but you are able to live or experience it only when you really know it. With my message, I now open the book of creation for you. The message clearly shows you the language of God in creation, which you must learn to understand so that you can make it completely your own. Just imagine a child on earth not understand his father or mother because he has never learned the language they speak to him. Indeed, what is to become of such a child? He does not even know what is expected of him, and will thus fall into one difficulty after the other, draw upon himself one sorrow after another, and probably end up utterly useless for any purpose or enjoyment on earth. If it is to amount to anything, must not every child personally learn the language of his parents for himself? Nobody can do it for him. Otherwise, he would never adjust himself, nor would he ever be able to mature and walk on earth. But he would remain a hindrance, a burden to others, and would finally have to be segregated to prevent him from causing harm. Can you expect anything else then? You have, of course, inescapably to fulfill such a duty of the child towards your God, whose language you must learn to understand as soon as you desire his help. God, however, speaks to you in his creation. If you want to advance in it, you must first recognize this is language. Should you neglect it, you will be cut off from those who know the language and adjust themselves to it, because you would otherwise cause harm and obstruction without necessarily wishing to do so. You must therefore do it. Do not forget this, and see that it is done now. Otherwise, you will be helplessly abandoned to whatever threatens you. My message will be a faithful helper to you. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grail Land, Iju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail message. Date: Monday, 22nd February 2015. Venue: OGS Plaza, Ajumon Bus Stop, Ajumon, Ogun State. Topic: The Earth is a school, while Paradise is the actual home of man. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. Also on Sunday, 1st of March 2015, public lecture venue is Maximum Tea's Hall off Agbado Road, Alakoko, Lagos. Topic is based on the Grail message and the lecture will be in the Yoruba language. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. We are now in the interactive segment. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805 944-1123. Messages 003-315-7493. Alright, we have some text messages here. Somebody asked, do angels have free will? If no, why did Lucifer rebel against the Creator? Angels do not have free will. Indeed, the difference between angels and spirit is that while the spirits have free will, angels have no free will. They only obey the will of the Almighty Creator. In the case of Lucifer, who was an archangel, he was sent out to help man in his development. But while working in matter, which was a very far distance from his origin, this was what made it possible for him to disobey. He became the success of his activity got to his head. In other words, it was to help man to learn how to use his intellect. That was his mission, to put the light of enlightenment into the intellect of man, so that man can now use his intellect, which is the earthly understanding, the ability to understand that which is earthly, to walk on earth. He saw the success of his activity. He became arrogant, and that was actually what made him to fall. Alright, Dominic is calling from Abuja. Hello, Dominic. Dominic, are you there? Sir. Yes, good day.
Yeah, good day, sir.
Good day.
Yeah, sir, please, I want to ask about, I have a lady that she already born with somebody. So, I want to ask, can I do a white wedding with her?
Look, when you talk about marriage, that's to do with love between the man and the woman. If there is true love between you and the woman, even though she has already given birth to a child, then the only foundation for marriage is genuine love between the man and the woman. There is no other thing. Despite the fact that whether you yourself have had children before or the woman has had children before, or if there is true love between you, then why not? You should go and marry. Another caller here. Edwin is calling from first. Hello, Edwin.
Yes. Hello, sir. I actually have two questions. Those
please go ahead.
Firstly, I actually want you to... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go on.
Yes. So I actually want you to clarify what is so special about heaven and what can you... What makes heaven so special? What are the things that you can do that is like a miracle, and you know, things that make the place so beautiful? That's the one. And then the second question quickly is, I actually want to know, for someone who is already in tandem with the laws of nature, you already know the principles that you work on and you actually receive from God on that, you know, on that platform, right? You're very much in line with the laws of nature and everything that you're trying to talk about, right? So I actually want to know, if you come in contact with someone and that one is now trying to, is it possible for someone to actually feel that your unique identity, your unique way of communicating and interacting with God based on the natural laws of nature, on creation?
The second question is not clear. You are swinging in the laws of nature. Then what happens? You meet somebody who is not.
In tandem with the laws that you've said,
yes,
right? The laws and how you should be able to communicate, to be able to hear and be in contact.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying that if you already have an identity, right, that you use, right, is it possible for someone who is also spiritually, that has some spiritual powers to be able to feel into that identity and maybe, you know, and like identity thieves, something like that, that can take your destiny, your identity,
okay,
and
all
your
right.
unique way of, you know, interacting with the Almighty.
Okay. Alright, now your first question, Evan. In actual fact, you know, this earth life is only a training ground for us. The earth is not our home. It is only a place that we are permitted to come as unconscious spirit seed which was how we started our journey in paradise, we are sown into the soil of the material world, so that all the talents within us, we can grow it, comes to maturity, so that then we can return to our spiritual home, which is paradise. That is the goal. So earth life is only a training school. The real home of the human spirit is paradise, and that is what every conscious spirit should really strive to, because that is our goal. Anyone who does not, or who fails to achieve this goal, be caught in the material world, and the material world is transient. When that material world undergo disintegration, such a soul will also undergo disintegration. That is why we must hasten in our development and then learn to know the reason why we are all here. And to your second question, destiny. If you are swinging in the laws of nature, you have the best protection from the Lord. And so nobody can hamper you. In fact, you have a direct communication. So you should not have any problem. And nobody can hamper you in your activity. Emmanuel is calling from Ilorin. Hello, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you are on.
Hello?
Yes, Emmanuel, are you there?
Yeah, can I hear you, please?
Yes, go on, please.
Hello?
Yes, are you there, Emmanuel?
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Yes, go on then.
Yeah, okay, sir. My question is that in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, right?
Okay. Yes. Oh. Well, Emmanuel should try and call back. Okay. Well, maybe he was trying to talk about Adam and Eve, then gave birth to Cain and Abel, then Cain killed Abel, then Cain, this same Cain went somewhere and got a wife. Where did the woman come from? If that is the question, the answer is Adam and Eve is a pictorial rendition of the coming into the physical world of man and woman. It's only a picture representing the coming into the world of human spirits. Adam represents man, Eve, woman. So there were not just two, there were several that were incarnated at that time. And so that picture, you must not take it in the literal sense. Remember, the Bible itself is a spiritual book, and you must learn to understand it spiritually. Another caller here, Namdi, is calling from Port Harcourt. Hello, Namdi. Hello, Namdi. You're on, Namdi. Hello?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, good
hello,
evening. Sir. Good evening.
I'm not hearing you.
Yes, we can hear you. Go on with your question.
Yeah, I have this question. Is soul travel and astral projection advisable?
What? Astral projection is a very dangerous game. Don't involve yourself in it. Those who advocate astral projection and occult training are those who are giving men stone instead of bread. They lack knowledge. When you stand in knowledge, you know that such activities are dangerous. Not only that, those who engage in it expose themselves to sudden illness or even insanity or sudden death. But the dangerous part of it is that they injure their soul bodies, the bodies they will use when they enter into the beyond. And this hampers them to a very great extent. Astral traveling, it means when somebody consciously leaves his physical body to explore the beyond. It is a one-sided entrance into the world beyond, which is very dangerous. All right, Augustine is calling from Kefi. Hello, Augustine.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
There is somewhere in the Bible, they say the gift of God is without repentance. I need more understanding on that issue. I need more clarification there, because there is where they said in the same Bible that we continue in sin that grace may have. I don't just understand.
Can you repeat that first sentence?
The Bible says the gift of God is without repentance.
Okay, all right. Let me try and answer your question. Now, you know that many people have a different understanding of many of the sayings in the Bible. When you talk about repentance, repentance exists, but it is not only here on earth. And there are certain statements that people are bandying about that there is no repentance in the grave, and so on like that. When you learn to understand the workings of creation, you know that such a statement is not correct. The gifts that the Almighty has given us in equal measure for everyone are the talents we brought from paradise, which we are duty bound to develop while here in the material world. It is only when we develop such activity, that talents, that we even come to the recognition of why we are here. And if you help us in attaining our goal. So I can only advise you, if you truly want to know more about these things, examine the grail message. Bayo is calling from Ilorin. Hello, Bayo.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So I want to ask, should we believe in prophecy? This will prophesize about something. Should we believe in
being prophesied? All right, let's see. The one who is prophesying is not doing magic. Prophecy, somebody telling you that something or something like that will happen to you in the future, is not the one who is putting it there. It is you that is putting it there. You just have the ability to see it. In other words, let's say you planted maize in your farm, but it's not yet harvest time. Then somebody who has the ability to see the harvest time say that, at so time you will reap maize. So it's not the one who put the maize there, it is you. But he just has the ability to see with his inner eyes what is in store for you. Before the of what we have done touches off physically, it is already hovering above us ethereally. It doesn't just come like that. It's already there ethereally. And if somebody has the ability to see ethereally, ethereal things, he can now say this. So that is that. But apart from that, you must know that nothing comes to you except what you yourself have put there. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Wisdom is calling from River State. Hello, Wisdom.
I can hear you.
Yes, go on, please.
I'm calling from River State.
All right.
The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill."
All right.
And I want to know more. This insurgent and this Boko Haram and the military men fighting themselves. So I want to know if the soldiers are now against the word of God, as the word the Bible says.
Okay. Yes, thou shalt not kill means that thou shalt not kill. But it has a wider meaning than the way you are even looking at it. We'll talk about that later. But you as a human being, you have a right also to protect yourself. Although you are here on earth, then you are also free to protect yourself so that others cannot just do what they like with you. It's your right to protect yourself. So the soldier that has vowed to lay down his life to protect the fatherland is a noble profession. But you should not go about killing. Now, to the other issue about thou shalt not kill. Is this the commandment did not say thou shalt not kill gross material life. It simply say thou shalt not kill. And there are many ways in which we do killing. For example, when a father has a son, the father did all he can to help the son bring up all the ability within him to fruition. the father has great expectation, but the son frittered away all those abilities. The son has killed something in the father. He has disobeyed the law. When you take away the confidence, or let's say you are a friend, and that friend reposes a high trust in you, and you betray that trust, you have killed something in that person who has trust in you. So there are many ways in which we do this killing. You understand? So it's not just the gross material killing of the body. That is not what the law only refers to. And that these other ones we just talked about now, we do it every day. And yet, everyone feels that the moment he has not killed another human being, he has obeyed the law. But there are many ways in which we disobey this law. When you let trust somebody else in you, or you undermine the reputation of another person, and so on. These are the ways in which you kill. You have killed something living in the other person. All right, another. Okay. Let's take some text messages. Another caller here. James is calling from Ilorin.
Hello.
Hello, James. Yes, hello, listening.
I want to know the difference between astral projection and soul travel.
The same thing. Whether you astral project or you soul travel, the same, just another word for the same thing. It is wrong. Both are wrong. You should not do it. It's like somebody who is sailing in a boat, and then while in the boat is completely safe. But on the journey, he decided to remove the plank at the bottom of the boat. When he does so, water will enter the boat will sink, it will drown. And if he says he can swim, how far can he swim? He can only swim, only that is for those who say they are experts. You can only swim so much. Eventually, you also be as you drown as the one who is a non-swimmer. So astral traveling is a one-sided entrance into the world beyond. Whereas, what should be done is that for those who have to interact with the beyond in the natural way, the Lord makes sure that there is balance in the development, both in the external and the internal. But somebody who uses as artificial means to enter and say he's doing astral traveling, he is not mature to do it. His ethereal body is exposed to radiations that is not able to absorb. His physical body also will receive radiation that will bring about sudden illness or madness or sudden death. It is wrong. Anyone who advocates such things gives men stone instead of bread. Collins is calling from Bayelsa. Hello, Collins. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you are on.
Yeah. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Collins.
Okay.
I'm calling from Bayelsa State.
All right.
There's no branch of green
message
in
Yenegua here. It's there. Let me tell you. Wait. Let me tell you where you can go and get it. In Yanagua. There is Great Information Center, Tombia / Amasoma Road by Ziak Hotel, Etegwe. There is a Great Information Center there in Yanagua. Yes.
Okay, Tombia Amasoma Road.
Yes, by Ziak Hotel. Ziak Hotel, Etegu, yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right, now more text messages here. What is the proper way to pray? Is it by falling on your knees or is it right to seek protection from herbalist? The proper way to pray, we have been told by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when we want to pray, do not be like the pagans who love to repeat and repeat and repeat. That's one. He said, when you want to pray, do not be like the Pharisees who love to stand at the street corner to be seen by the people. Then he said, if you want to pray, go to the corner of your room, and then in the private of your room, you pray quietly to your Creator. So prayer demands earnestness. It demands that it comes from deep within your heart. It is not necessary whether you, how you position your physical body is not the issue, but prayer is what comes from your heart. And prayer is a solemn moment. It's a moment when the Spirit wishes to communicate with his Creator. At that moment, the Spirit must bring forth the greatest fervor it has within it. It is not something that must become habitual and superficial and becomes a chatter that you just talk. Prayer, it does not depend on the words. The words are only for the man himself who is praying as a guidance for his intuition. But it is from the intuition from the heart is what actually can lead the prayer to where it's going. And the prayer requires that it must be pure. It is only purity of the prayer, the purity of your heart, that will determine the lightness, how the prayer will become light. And what is light must naturally rise and go to that region where prayers are answered. But if you have evil in your heart and desire destruction of your fellow human being, such a prayer is heavy. It cannot rise. James, Moses is calling from Ifo. Hello, Moses.
Hello, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I said, I have a question.
Go on.
My question is, the power of native doctor, is it real?
What?
The power of native doctors, is it real?
Okay. All right, the power of native doctors. Now, the native doctors, there are two kinds. There are those who use herbs to help in healing or curing ailments. That is okay. But there are also those who use dark forces to achieve what they want to achieve. And that is itself is wrong. So, and that leads to the other question he was asking, whether one should seek protection from herbalist. The only one that can give you protection is the Almighty Creator. And through your purity of heart, that is how you can receive protection. Many a time, somebody will go to the native doctor who is practicing juju, but he ends up marking himself through such practices, such that he can now be attacked by dark forces. The only one force that can give you the best protection is to pray to your Creator, to have your inner being to become pure, to learn to recognize the laws and to live accordingly. That is the best protection. Okay, another text message is here. The other question concerning the soldier that is laying down his life to protect his fatherland. Now, there are many who enter the military profession for other reasons. But if the person goes there with a pure heart to defend the fatherland, then he will receive the reward. But there are others who go there only just to get what they want to get. Okay, Kingsley is calling from Abuja. Hello, Kingsley. Hello, Kingsley.
Hello.
Yes. Go on.
Good morning.
Good evening. We are not yet in morning. Good evening. Yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Please go on.
Thank you. I want to know if the purpose of being on earth is generalized, or do we have different purposes of being on earth?
All right. The purpose of
and another one. Sorry, sir.
Okay.
Another one. The main one to me is: can somebody be repented again? Can you know God once more? Like, can you be in love with God? Because sorry, it's a kind of this what is bothering me. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm coming.
All right. I understand you. Okay, now when you talk about the purpose of our existence here on earth, we have only one purpose, and that purpose is to recognize our Lord Creator. That is the main reason why we are here, the recognition of the Almighty Creator. And that is what will give the human spirit the greatest happiness. Our duty is to recognize the Almighty Creator by learning to learn the language of the Lord, by learning to understand the laws He has put in creation. And even if somebody has done something that is very bad, there is room for him to repent here on earth. Alright, Namdi is here back from Abuja. Hello,
hello.
Namdi. Yeah, you are on. Hello, you
hello.
Are on. Yes, you are on.
Okay, doctor, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Please, doctor, I want to find a great message that I read.
Yes.
They say that when the animal, from the creation of man,
yes,
when the animal reaches his highest height,
yes,
his highest development,
yes,
the soul was incarnated into his body,
yes,
before man was born.
Mm-hmm.
So now my question is this: when God created animal, he said, let there be animal. Why was man come through animal before he was born?
All right. Now there is evolution. The man does not just come into this physical world as a man. He has to come through the process of evolution. The first life that can be on earth is not animal even. It started with plant life, then to animal life, then to human life. Through process of evolution lasting many, many, many years. In the Bible, you are told that man was made from the dust of the ground, and the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. These are two processes. The dust of the ground to the man is not just one single stage process, from dust then man, but it is a process that is encompassing millions of years, in which from evolution through plant life to life in the animal life, fish life, bird life, then to the most highly developed animal, before which is now created the bridge for the soul of man to be able to enter. It's not that the plant is changing to animal or animal changing to man, but they only present the step ladder fashion from one species to the next. The species don't change. They remain what they are from the time they were created. But each lower species acts as a bridge for the next higher species. In the case of man, the most highly developed animal, after reaching the highest of their development and beyond which they cannot go, when the noblest pair of those animals mated, instead of an animal soul to incarnate, it was the human soul that has developed to that stage that incarnated and took over the animal body. And those animal races of those times, they were extinguished after they have completed their development. And that was how man entered into the physical world. It was a stage, a process of evolution. It's not that the soul of the animal changed to the soul of man, no. But man needed the physical cloak of the animal to be able to enter into this physical world. So that is how it occurred. Through the knowledge in the great message, you come to understand these things. And then you come to know that when he said that man was created from the dust of the ground, and then the breath of life was breathed into his nostrils, dust of ground just means the formation of the physical cloak. We started actually from the dust. Then when the physical body has been perfected and ready by the most highly developed animal, then human soul entered into it. Those are the two processes of the coming of man into this physical world. The physical body from the animal, then the soul of man. When you read the great message, you get a clearer picture of how all these things took place. Okay, another text, another caller here. Victoria is calling from VI. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My first question is, actually I have two questions.
Okay.
My first question is, if a man dies knowing fully well that he is a sinner, and the Bible says that no sinner will inherit the kingdom of God, so if a man dies now, will the man eventually inherit the kingdom of God, or is there any process that the person will undergo? That's the first question. Then the second question now is, since we are women and there is not that a woman, why is it that at times people that are already dead, why is it that at times do exist, as in they do have a relationship between living, between we that are still living? I just want to know the relationship between we that are living and the dead.
All right, okay. So your first question, yes, there is room for the sinner also to repent. It is in the material world. The material world is not just this physical world. There is also the ethereal world, which is also part of the material world. It is only in the world of matter that we have sin and also redemption. The spiritual world is not touched by sin. It's not possible to sin there. But in the material world, which is a training ground for the developing human spirit, man can sin. It is also there that he has to wash his garment clean before he can enter paradise. And so, when a man dies and is a sinner, if he repents, if he has the heart to change his ways, there are planes in the ethereal world. The ethereal world is not yet paradise. There are many planes there where he also has the opportunity to continue to improve himself, to continue to repay his debts, and so on. So that is that. And as to the relationship between the living and the dead, yes, the dead is only dead physically. They are still in existence, but we cannot see them with our physical eyes. There are many souls that have died that are still playing, that have not yet been able to continue their ascent. Those are earthbound souls. And such souls can also interact with human beings one way or the other. For example, somebody who loves the bottle, who loves to drink, is a drunkard. He dies in that state. When he is dead, the love of the bottle will not die with him, because that propensity has almost touched his soul. He will still wish to continue to drink, and the only place where he can continue to do that is on this earth plane. And so such a soul will always find itself amongst those who love the bottle. Indeed, his inner urge to drink can also push others who are here on earth to continue to drink. And as they are drinking, the enjoyment those who are drinking are enjoying is taking little part of it. So that is what is driving him. And he will continue to be outbound until that propensity for the bottle gradually leaves him or it wanes from him. So there are many and other propensities too, whether sex or the love of pleasure or earthly material things and so on. But when we know the goal of our existence, which is to know the laws of our Creator, to know that here is only a training ground, we have a place where we must go, which is paradise, but we cannot get there until we know the will of the Almighty, then our focus is towards heaven. Everything we do will now be to swing in accordance with the laws of our Creator, so that when we leave the flesh, we continue our journey and our development also in the beyond. That is why a great message has come, but it is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. Now let us remind our listeners of public lectures coming up on Sunday, 22nd of February, venue OGS Plaza, Ajumo Bus Stop, Ajumo Ogun. The topic, the earth is a school, while paradise is the actual home of man. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. Also on Sunday, 1st of March, 2015, venue of lecture, Maximum Tees Hall, off Agbado Road, Alakuko, Lagos. It is based on a great message topic and is in Yoruba language. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, after this program, for those who may still wish to interact with us, our telephone numbers are 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. Our website, www.truthoflifradio.com. Email, info@truthoflifradio.com. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abushin, author of the Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.